Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Mother Claire, Franciscan Sister of the Renewal. She'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Mother Claire. She's a Franciscan sister, and she led this mission trip to Ethiopia that I was privileged to be a part of. So tonight, we're going to talk about that trip and how she got it started and the spirituality behind it.
We're now going to a reflection with Mother Claire Marie.
Hi, I'm Mother Claire, and I want to share a few thoughts about the discernment process. I remember watching a video of Mother Teresa many, many years ago. It was actually of the Missionaries of Charity, and it was her voice over the video, and she was saying, when a woman is called to be the bride of Christ, she knows it in her heart. And when you do get in touch with a vocation, sometimes after a long struggle, you'll find that those words are very, very true, that all along you knew it in the depths of your heart. But after getting in touch with that, it is also helpful to receive some confirmations of the call. And a lot of times, confirmations come through the people in our life to whom we're the closest, our family and our most intimate friends. And sharing with them a little bit of your journey and what you're arriving upon will confirm your call in many, many cases. The person who's discerning is the last to know. The people in their life knew all along that God had them marked for something very special.
Mother Claire, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you.
And I wanted to have you back on. We did the mission trip. You led a mission trip to Ethiopia. I was part of that. And I was impressed by your teaching on prayer, your witness of prayer, how you prayed on that trip. And I wanted to bottle some of that up, bring it on Life on the Rock. And when I asked you about the topic, I thought you had a great insight to, advanced prayer would be into contemplation and prayer of the heart and things. And that's hard, maybe, for people to understand that or get that teaching down. A lot of us do devotional prayers, the rosary and whatever rote prayers we have. But how do we get to that prayer of the heart?
That is a great question, Father Mark. It's a great question, and it's an important one. Yeah. I'm so delighted that you wanted to talk about this topic. Yes, because we can have all kinds of devotions and practices and elements of our spiritual life that make up our life, and it's possible to do all those things without making the journey inside. Mm-hmm. And what we really want to do is make the journey inside, and that's a big part of what the Ethiopia mission, what we're doing with the priests, is just helping reinforce that concept of entering the temple of the heart and fostering a very personal relationship with the living God in the heart.
Right.
So whichever other element of prayer we're talking about, whether it isn't one of our beautiful Catholic devotions or even meditation or vocal prayers or whichever thing in the vast scope of our tradition, what we want to do is take whatever that thing is that you like to do and make sure that it's coming forth from that most inner place of the heart, and that it's a really relationship face-to-face with the living God, heart-to-heart with the living God.
And obviously, I think challenges in our culture today are distractions, the busyness of life, and we can even escape into busyness. We want to maybe distract ourselves a lot of activity or media stimulation, glitzy media shows, whatever, and social media. And we can be so fractured.
Yeah.
Listening to podcasts all the time or whatever. And a big part of the prayer from the heart is that journey within to find that stillness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk a lot about desire. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, to uncover that desire that we really have, our deepest desires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, both points are so central. I think it's right from the gospel. You know, if you want to pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. So that's that entering the heart. But in order to do that, it requires stillness. It requires quiet. It requires that interiority and all those, you know, distractions that you're highlighting, all that exterior life is so frenetic.
Right.
You know, in other words, just fast paced, lots of stimulation. And it really mitigates against that interiority and that stillness. So the first thing is there's a certain discipline required to do what Jesus says so simply: go to the inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. But it really requires leaving. You have to depart one place to make the journey to another place. You have to leave behind, you know, the phone and all of that stimulation and all of that frenetic mental activity that goes along with it. And that's a process. Yeah. We could have a few shows on that, you know, to quiet down and leave that stuff behind and to go within.
Right.
And inside, in that inner room, in that stillness of the interior place is where those desires are found. And once you get there, you can begin to see what makes up my heart, what makes up my desires, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, the self-knowledge.
Right. Because God wants to fulfill those desires. We could say in a sense, right, he placed them in our heart, maybe part of our natural makeup to some degree, but that we want to be able to bring those to the Lord and experience a fulfillment, a human flourishing. And I think you make a great point there about, it takes a discipline and a change. You know, as we say, you got to start saying yes to God, or you got to start saying no to something,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Learn. I mean, even secular productivity people say you got to say no. You know, be comfortable saying no to things. And I know I feel that sometimes that you're just kind of like pulled apart by activity or ministry, even good things. And we need to go to that quiet space and make that journey within. What about when we do pray, just like, what does that look like, that prayer from the heart? Is it silence? Is it speaking? Or is it, what does it look like, your experience of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea of the prayer of the heart, that going inside into that deepest place, it could be all of those things, any and all of those things at different times, because we're going to be at different places in the journey at different times of our life and even different times of our day. But I think part of what our Lord longs for so much is that no matter whether it could be verbal prayer, there are times when you want to utter a verbal prayer of the truest thing you're feeling. Lord, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord, Lord, my mother is sick. Please, you know, be close to her now.
Yeah.
There are times when a verbal prayer is the most real thing, but it's emerging from, you know, that inner place. And there are other times when we're brought into, you know, a contemplative stillness, and our only prayer, the only thing we desire, the only movement of our heart, we just want to recline on the heart of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But whichever, whether it's verbal or whether it's a deeper contemplation, what we really want to do as disciples is to make sure that all of it's flowing from the inner place. If I'm praying the rosary, even, or some external verbal prayer, beautiful prayer of our Holy Rosary, that even that's being prayed from the heart, that really no prayer should be uttered until I've made that journey into the temple of my heart, and that all prayer would come from there.
Right. You know, I'm thinking too, reminded of the power of the sacraments. Certainly to confess our sins, especially if it's a mortal sin or, you know, the stuff that cuts us off from God, to be forgiven that, to be white, clean, to have a pure heart, and then let God work on you in that way. And then as Catholics, we can go before Jesus in the Eucharist and his presence there, and that can have a big stilling effect on us, can't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Father. Yeah, beautiful points. Yeah, the sacraments are so important, you know, for us. And you know, I do a lot of work with young adults in this work of trying to help form in the interior life. But when people hit blocks, which is very common, and when we hit blocks, when I hit a block in my own life, you know, that's a good first question to ask. Well, is there some unrepented sin?
Right.
You know, is there some unforgiveness?
Yeah.
Is there some obstacle or some barrier between me and another?
Right.
Because very often the difficulties we experience in prayer and our relationship with God stem from something that's out of order out here, you know, in relationship. Or so confession is the perfect remedy, of course,
right,
for that. Yeah.
Right.
Want to pray better, go to confession.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute with Mother Claire. Well, Claire, I think you make a great point about the discipline, you know, and getting rid of things maybe in our life, making changes. And I think Teresa of Avila said something along the lines, you know, that, you know, sin and this deep prayer cannot coexist. Mm-hmm. You know, one's going to win out. You know, they can't. If we're growing in deep prayer, it drives out sin. And confession helps us to do that, the grace of the sacrament. Adoration, I think, has this purifying impact on us. And just, you know, there, even there, he's physically present to us, you know, sacramentally and physically, that just to receive him, right? We receive him communion, yes, too. He's coming into us. Yeah. And that's a great time to pray, right? Oh. Pray after Mass.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Father, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. You know, that's when we receive Holy Communion, I think it's Teresa of Avila who spoke about the paradise. He's entering the paradise of our soul, and to dwell there with him in that paradise. And many of the saints, of course, wrote about just the intimacy of that moment, those moments, those precious moments after Holy Communion, when we have his physical and spiritual and divine presence within us. So yes, incredibly special. But even aside from the actual Mass itself and the reception of Holy Communion, Eucharistic adoration is just entering into the embrace of God, the stillness and the presence of God. And so it is a very privileged place and way to pray. And in a way, we can look at Jesus in the host as a model for us, because he's still. You know, here we have the infinite God who's all powerful and created everything, but he's just completely still and captured in that monstrance. And it's kind of showing us how to be before him. To model and mirror his stillness and his simplicity and his humility, that God would become a host. And, you know, we can kind of look at prayers, just imitate that, imitate the host.
Right.
You know, just be still and quiet and little before him, and receive whatever it is he's going to give, which is going to be his love, a torrent of his love.
Yeah.
You know, his presence and his mercy, his tenderness.
I forgot who said this, but that, you know, it said that God created the stars in quiet, and he maintains them in quiet. Mm. Like, you can go out on a starry night and see that, and just there's this great silence, but God's holding all this creation together. You know, it's not, some reason it's more striking when it's quiet, you know. And so in that, I think that in that, in our own quiet and everything, we can have this special communion with God, connection with him. And ironically, it seems like, too, it is a place to speak to him from. You know, I sometimes do it at the end of the day. It's like you kind of get quiet, you're in the chapel and praying, and talk to him, like, what you're wrestling with, what you're struggling with, the anguish of life, whatever it is, you know. Just bring the inside out and let him do something with that.
Yeah. Father Mark, beautiful.
Yeah.
And I guess it's that trust that he cares.
Yeah,
you know, that he's a loving father, and he really cares. The things that concern you and me concern him, even down to the smallest detail. And so yes, he loves it, I think, when his children allow to come forth their deepest concerns, even if they seem small or large.
Yeah. I know I heard you talk about, on our trip, I think it was, about the importance of desire. And that's true in the natural world, right? If you need desire, you can't just have talent. You got to have desire to apply yourself and everything. Talk about this desire, you mean, in the spiritual life, and what impact that has on our ability to receive God, you know, for him to come into our heart.
Yeah, well, certainly a lot of saints write about desire, and desire is good. It's the fuel, in a way, for our Christian life, I think. First of all, that going interiorly to find out what it is we desire, and ultimately, when we chase that down layer after layer, it is a desire for God.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is on the surface, down, drilling down beneath, it's a desire for him, and he wants to fulfill it. But whatever it is we're seeking or we're praying for and we're asking for, you know, we're seeking, we're praying, we're asking, seek, ask, knock, as the scripture says. And sometimes we think we're seeking, knocking, and asking for an awfully long time. But our desire as we do that, you know, maybe we're praying for a deeper contemplation, a better prayer life, maybe better recollection, but we're still distracted, we're still unable. Whatever the case may be, we all have our intentions. But as we pray for that, our heart, our desire for it expands. Mm-hmm. You know, I want it more. Mm-hmm. You know, as I pray for it, I want it more. And so my heart is expanding. And then there's more of a capacity to receive it. So when it does come, I'm going to be able to hold more. Mm-hmm. So I think part of what desire does for us is right. It expands our hearts, it expands our desires, and then our capacity for God is greater. And you know, the saints speak of that, St. Augustine, but also Angela Foligno, one of our Franciscan mm-hmm. saints. There's a great quote from her revelations of Jesus saying, Angela, make of yourself a capacity. Make of yourself a capacity, and I will make of myself a torrent. Mm. So in other words, that desire expanding to a great capacity so that Jesus won't be a trickle coming in, a right. trickle of divine life, right. but a torrent of divine life to flood yeah. her. And yeah. see, that's where our desire and his desire, he wants them to match up. His desires for us are so great and our desires mm-hmm. are so small. Mm-hmm. And he wants to expand them so that we can receive what he really wants to give us, which is so much greater than what right. we think we want.
And we could... I know, I think in your notes I saw that we can be afraid to really uncover that desire. Mm-hmm. We can be afraid to open our heart. You know, maybe we've been hurt in some way and we have vulnerability issues, trust issues. Yeah. What do you tell people about overcoming that?
Mm. Yeah, it's so important, Father Mark. It's a good point. You know, in prayer, vulnerability is essential. You know, it's mm-hmm. essential. In other words, what we mean by that is that honesty with God, mm-hmm. that ability to just to sort of bear ourselves before him. So right. in other words, not to come before him with our best proper English and our, you know, our coiffed mm-hmm. hairdo and our perfect Sunday dress all the time. Yeah. That's good for Mass. But when we come before God, our loving Father, just to be as we are with our imperfections, our inconsistencies, our wounds and our brokenness and our desires, whether they're purified or not, whatever is the stuff that makes up our heart, mm-hmm. to really begin to be able to put that before him. And to get there, to grow in this, which I have to grow in this, I have grown and need to grow in this, but in order to do it, it requires trust. Mm-hmm. And as my trust, if I believe that God is good, and that he's my Father, and he's good, all good, only good, always good, everything that comes from him is good. If mm-hmm. I really believe that, then I will not be afraid. Mm-hmm. So as my trust increases, my fear will diminish. And so as my fear diminishes, then I'm able to be free right. and vulnerable and right. honest and open right. because I'm not right. afraid. This is my Father we're talking right. about. Yeah. This is Daddy. Yeah. This is Abba. Right. And I'm not afraid of him. And so as my trust increases, my fears diminish, and I can really come forth with the real me.
Yeah.
And that's when prayer happens,
yeah.
when I'm really coming forth with the real me, the real stuff of my heart.
Right. Mother Clara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Father. Yeah.
Well, our topic tonight was prayer from the heart. And we can be so fragmented in our world today. I'm even as a religious, I feel kind of stretched at many days. And Mother Clare, you know, before the show, she used this image of fragments, like John 6, gathering the fragments in those wicker baskets. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to gather us in through the Eucharist to join mm-hmm. him to himself, but to bring a wholeness, because we're so fractured, we're so fragmented, and prayer is a principal way to do that.
I thought she had a really key insight to prayer, but if you want to pray better, go to confession. Mm-hmm. I thought, hey, yeah, you know what? That's very true of how much do we pray better whenever we do kind of cleanse our soul, get right with God,
yeah.
you know, because we examine where we actually may falter in our prayer life, that sometimes we neglect or we're distracted, things that we can actually overcome, you know, with a little bit of effort.
Right. Yeah, I think Thomas de Bay would teach us drawing from St. Teresa of Avila, if you want to grow in prayer, live the gospel generously. Mm-hmm. That includes repenting of sin, you know, getting order yeah. into our life. And then we can be quiet and still. And I like the point, too, she made about, you know, our life is going to naturally change if we deepen our prayer life. And it also has to change. It's yeah. kind of like this positive feedback loop. I mean, I have to say no to some things. Some yeah. things are distractions. Some things just stir us all up. We live on the level of the flesh or stimulation. Uh-huh. Prayer doesn't live on that level.
Yeah, you know, we have to make a sacrifice to pray at mm-hmm. times. You know, we have to maybe give up watching TV or, you know, just doing whatever, surfing the internet. But, you know, going into that inner room, you know, where we can speak to God, you know, and hear His word, you know, and there's very different many ways of praying, but sometimes it starts small, you know, and God, He'll plant the seeds, He'll cultivate a strong prayer life in you.
Right. We all have that capacity. We all are human beings. We have this interior life, and we can either give that to God or give that to the world. So we'll send you into the vineyard with a blessing and ask God to give you that great gift of prayer of the heart. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Sorry.